Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week news podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about International Financial Reporting Standards, usually known as IFRS. As you may have heard, on February 24th, the Securities and Exchange Commission issued its latest ideas and thinking on adopting IFRS in the United States. And essentially, the SEC confirmed that, yes, it is still going to stick with its plan to hold a final vote in 2011 about whether to adopt IFRS in the United States. But it also promised that any possible adoption won't start until at least 2015, possibly later. And the commission also promised to develop a work plan examining various problems companies and the SEC would be having and experiencing when they are going to actually transition to IFRS instead of U.S. accounting standards, should the SEC ultimately decide it will do that. Now, any move to adopt IFRS would be a huge change for financial reporting, and there are many skeptics that say nobody, not accounting rulemakers nor corporate America, is really ready for this change in such a short period of time. We decided to call up one of the IFRS skeptics out there, Tom Selling. Tom has been an accounting professor at Thunderbird School of Management and Dartmouth College and Massachusetts Institute of Technology and elsewhere. He also publishes the Accounting Onion blog, which is online at accountingonion.com, where he talks about various topics in financial reporting, including IFRS. So, Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Matt.
Now, first question is just, what do you think of the SEC's most recent IFRS pronouncements, where they're reaffirming their interest but stalling any actual adoption and action? What's your take on this?
Well, there's certainly a number of mixed messages in the commission statement. To be frank, even the title confuses me somewhat. On the one hand, the end game of the roadmap is adoption of IFRS, but the title of the commission statement only mentions convergence. You certainly can work toward achieving convergence without necessarily sunsetting GAAP and adopting IFRS. And so I'm a little bit encouraged even by the title that there's, you know, that there's some flexibility in their thinking that seems to be a little bit new. But getting deeper into the document, the commission appears to be willing to accept at face value the benefits of IFRS adoption. That have been most frequently cited by convergence proponents. For example, they cite the enhanced comparability, savings for multinationals, and lowering the cost of capital worldwide. The problem I have is that there's nothing in the staff's work plan that indicates there'll be any attempt to validate those benefits. And I suspect that's because it doesn't appear to me to be any sort of reliable way for validating them. But on the other hand, I think the SEC has done a pretty good and thorough job of laying out the issues that will determine whether IFRS adoption is even feasible or cost-beneficial. I'm particularly happy that the SEC acknowledges that serious thought has to be given to figuring out what the ongoing role of the FASB would be, even if we took in some or all of IFRS in some manner, shape, or form. So overall, Matt, I think the answer to your question is I don't really know what their agenda is. But I have to say that I'm sticking with the prediction that I made in my blog the day before the commission issued its statement.
What was the prediction?
I think that the ultimate decision maker is going to be the EU. I think the most likely scenario will be that the EU will come to state that more convergence is not something that they're very interested in. The EU is eventually going to tell the IASB that they'll want a divorce if the IASB continues to court the U.S. while everybody else has to sit around and twiddle their thumbs. So in the end, I expect that the decision will be made for the SEC by the EU.
Well, talk to me a little about this idea of converging U.S. accounting standards with IFRS. I know that in theory, the deadline is to get convergence essentially done on all major points by June 2011. In the grand scheme of rulemaking, that is the equivalent of doing this like right now. I mean, that's a very short window to accomplish a lot of ground that has to be covered. So I'm wondering if we even can really get that done by FASB and the international regulators, or whether anybody else who has a stake in that is, you know, prepared to participate in that discussion between now and June 2011.
Well, you're You're absolutely right. To paraphrase Bob Herz, I think he said something like, in the past we've had to double our efforts to speed up convergence, mm-hmm. and now we have to redouble them. And I think the first problem is exactly that. It's a short time frame. Denny Beresford was a former FASB chair, and his initial reaction to the convergence aspects of the work plan that I read on a listserv was that a lot of the convergence projects that are now supposed to be fast-tracked and completed in the next 16 months have been on the agenda since he was at the FASB, and he departed over 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The consolidation project's been on the agenda, for example, since 1982, and the FASB still hasn't been able to develop a fully satisfactory definition of control, according to him. And just a couple of the scores of the specific issues that will be addressed in the convergence projects are the direct method of reporting operating cash flows, which I've written about numerous times in my blog, and there's really a logjam when it comes to deciding how to report financial instruments at fair value, measuring financial instrument impairment. Everybody, I'm sure virtually anybody who's listening to this this podcast will know that these are very highly controversial issues.
Mm-hmm.
But another person whose comments I've been reading are those of another retired professor. His name is Bob Jensen from Trinity University. And the point that he's made, I think, really speaks to the prospects for the entire issue right out of the box. Bob's remarked that high-quality accounting standards can only occur if there's a reasonable opportunity for consultation with constituents. And that's really the heart of the due process commitment that the FASB has made. And this includes exposure drafts, it includes field visits, field tests, and other ways of communication that the FASB has developed over the many years of their experience. So it's virtually unthinkable to him that these seven or so very highly technical and highly complicated projects can be compressed into a 16-month period and still maintain a reasonable opportunity for input, and more important, for the boards to learn from that input and be willing to make changes. So that's really the first fundamental problem I see, and that's the short time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But there's even more. Second problem I see. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, give us the second half of this equation.
It's an inequality, actually.
An inequality, sure.
What I see is that there's a lot of critical issues with respect to convergence that aren't even on the agenda. Some of them, like R&D, have been so thorny that they've been abandoned in the past,
mm-hmm.
and now they're hardly being acknowledged as having existed at all. But foremost in this regard is one that's never been on the agenda, and that's impairment on the convergence agenda, I should say. And that's impairment of long-lived assets, including goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get the EU to agree with the U.S. approach in this regard, and I also don't think you'll get the U.S. issuers to accept the IFRS standard. And that's why I don't think it's a convergence project, because there's no hope of convergence, but this is a really fundamental issue. All commercial industrial companies with consolidated financial statements annually have impairment judgments to make for goodwill and their long-lived assets. And I think the problem also under that is that both impairment standards leave a great deal to be desired. Neither of them is what I would call high quality. And I don't see how you can end up with so-called stable, high-quality platform at the end of 16 months unless this issue, among numerous others, is resolved, and so far it's being ignored.
So let me tie that back into your comments about how the EU might decide that they don't want to go down this path anymore. I mean, so what would you see happening there? Would the SEC be stuck in between its decision to make a final vote that looks like it might not work, or just not going with convergence and just shifting over to IFRS entirely, which would be much more tumultuous than convergence even? I mean, how might that all play out?
Well, I have problems with that scenario. I really have problems with a scenario where the ISB and the FASB, claps their hands together and say, we're all done. What do you, SEC, think about it? I don't think that the SEC has really contemplated that scenario well enough, and that's why I have trouble with the whole document. How do you eventually judge whether there has been substantial, not just convergence, but convergence resulting in higher quality accounting standards? the, for example, revenue recognition is a very, very, very difficult topic. And I think arguably, even if the FASB and the IASB settled on what is currently being proposed, it's very problematic, and it's very difficult to argue that that standard is an improvement, will be an improvement over what's currently in U.S. GAAP.
Mm-hmm. And well, let me try and squeak in one more question here. We've got a few minutes left, but I actually want to shift gears and talk about companies that might want to adopt IFRS anyways. I mean, we've been laying out some groundwork here that these two accounting systems really aren't that easily compatible, but I mean, it would seem to me that there are going to be at least some U.S. companies out there, the very large ones with international competitors using IFRS, that they might actually want this anyways. And I'm wondering what accounting executives in those companies might be, what should they be thinking about or be trying to argue their case that, you know, they might want a path to IFRS adoption. Does that make sense?
I suppose it does. First of all, early voluntary adoption, according to the latest SEC statement, is off the table.
Sure.
In my own surveys, what I've seen is that some of the larger companies seem to favor a path to IFRS, but most companies other than the larger ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that for a couple of reasons. One reason is that these costs for adoption are not scalable. That as a percentage of revenues, the convergence will cost smaller companies a lot more than bigger companies.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, and this is more of a casual observation, that my own view is that earnings-based compensation is more prevalent and more potent as you get to larger companies.
Mm-hmm.
To be frank, IFRS as it currently exists, and even with proposals such as the revenue recognition proposal, there are going to be greater opportunities to manage earnings. And when you can manage earnings and have earnings-based compensation, then you'll be managing your compensation. The way U.S. corporate governance can work. And that's one of the reasons why I think we really need to think long and hard about IFRS adoption and basically putting more judgment in the hands of executives.
All right. Tom, you gave us plenty of information to think about, but that's all the time we have right now. So thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Tom Selling, who is author of the AccountingOnion.com blog. He has been talking with us about the challenges confronting the SEC as it ponders whether or not to adopt international financial reporting standards in the United States. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.